United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Jim Baker resigned.
How's everybody doing today? Next year,
in a very wrong world.
I'm not relate and entertain you. And so then you got me. We got a lot of different things going on here. Grateful and friends of USOM 600 AM, Youngstown, Ohio. If you want to call and talk to me, our number is 347-945-5229. 347-945-5229. Something very interesting happened. Kind of went under the radar. The yuan overtook the euro as the second most used currency for international trade. And what that means to us is that right now the Chinese are nipping at our heels to become the world's economic superpower. That is not a good thing. Also, last week, the Chinese created a no-fly zone, and we promptly sent some B-52 bombers over through it. To say that we weren't going to acknowledge that it exists. Also, China is building a blue water navy, which means they're increasing their military presence. And what makes that especially dangerous is the military in China has a lot of political power. It's not like it is here in the United States, where the military is subservient to the civil government. The Chinese military is very much a part of the political process in China. So we've got that going. So, unlisted caller, your mic's open. I guess they don't want to talk to me. We can do that. So what, but all in the other things that are going on in the world, you've got Melissa Harris Perry. She's saying that the word Obamacare is the same as the N-word. And I'm going to try to find that clip here and play that for you, because I was flabbergasted when I heard it. And I'm sure that you will be too. So we're looking for that, as well as some upcoming concerts here in the Valley. So just bear with me for a second here. We're looking. 267, your mic's on.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. I'm calling from Philadelphia.
And hey, Philly, how you doing?
I want to make a comment in regards to the Mandela, the praising of Mandela. Now, Mandela did a great thing by his attempts to liberate the South African society. When the Dutch or the Boers first went into Southern Africa, they stayed there for over 100 years, and there was generations of them there, and they basically built that society. And they felt that because they had built it, they had the right to enforce the policy of apartheid. And now you have a situation where they have to go through a process where they have to attempt to share the wealth among the poor. Only the very elite Africans, blacks, are able to get into private industry. The majority of the black population lives in shanty towns and lives in poverty. Now, when Mandela was alive, Mandela was a Marxist and he was an atheist. So, I mean, he didn't believe in God. And that's something that I don't think a lot of Christians realize, that he had gone that way. So he basically had more of a secular type of perspective when it comes to government. He didn't believe in the role of religion in government at all. And I think we're starting to see politicians such as the new mayor of elect that they have up in New York City. He's more of a secular humanist as well. He doesn't believe in the role of religion in government either. And these types of people are coming to the fore. Now, I give Mandela credit for his ability to dismantle apartheid, but that's one perspective that people who are Christians should realize about him that's not talked about.
That a lot of people don't realize that Nelson Mandela was a Marxist.
Right.
And along with Marxist is atheism. I mean, you know, Marx called religion the opiate of the masses.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're right there. And I also know this guy that they just elected in for mayor of New York. He's an out-and-out Marxist. He spent his honeymoon in Cuba, as a matter
right.
of fact.
And most of his early heroes were people like Fidel Castro and other Marxists
mm-hmm.
who became popular over the course of the 20th century. Those were his heroes in his youth. So we're starting to see these types of secular humanist politicians come about as a result of Obama. They're starting to come to the fore where they're starting to gain some type of prominence, and they're starting to be elected to higher office.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama has certainly said that Mandela was one of his heroes, but I think the reason why apartheid was in vogue for so long because the Dutch and the Boers basically built that society,
mm-hmm.
and they felt that it was their right to control it. I mean, most of those resorts and buildings in Johannesburg and Sun City, practically all of that was built by the Dutch. So
I don't know a whole lot about South Africa, so maybe you can tell me. Now, you said that very few blacks are allowed to operate in the business world. Is that
right.
Is that carrying over from apartheid, or is that something due to the Marxist tendencies of Nelson Mandela and the African National Congress?
Well, that has to do with the fact that private industry was controlled by the white Afrikaners for so long. So they still have a lot of the businesses there. And because of the resentment from the black Africans, they have been attacked. I mean, the crime rate in South Africa is astronomical. In fact,
mm-hmm.
the crime rate in Johannesburg is so bad that they had 5-star hotels that people would come from out of town or come from all over the world to these 5-star hotels in Johannesburg, and they would be robbed almost every other day. Like if you were walking down the streets of Johannesburg and you had come out of one of these luxury hotels, you were automatically a target of robbers, and people were getting mugged and robbed every day. And it got to a point where the police couldn't control it anymore. So they have actually had to shut down businesses and restaurants because of the crime rate there. Because you have so many people who are living in abject poverty, and they may not have the skill sets or the education to go into private industry and work. So therefore, you have an unemployment problem there that is very high. And a lot of people are disenfranchised in South Africa. And they warn people who are international visitors when they go to South Africa, you need to be mindful of your surroundings, because there is a good chance that, you know, if you are a person of wealth, that somebody's going to target you and they're going to try to rob you. So what the white Afrikaners have had to do is they've had to resegregate themselves into gated types of communities, and they have to get their own private security forces to watch their houses, and they have to arm themselves with all types of weapons, because the black Africans will go in and try to rob them for what they have.
Now, I thought South Africa had very strict.
So basically, at this point, that is a very volatile situation down there.
Okay. I thought South Africa had very, very strict gun control laws.
No, well, but as far as the Afrikaners, a lot of the Afrikaners have segregated types of communities where they have armed security guards that,
okay,
that guard
the gates,
and they've had to hire these people. And also a lot of them have stashes of weapons themselves because they've had situations where African men have broken into their homes and they've raped their wives and their children, and they've been mugged and so forth. So I would say that at this point, they do have some type of laws which allows people to personally carry weapons.
Okay. Now, what about, I mean, you said there's a lack of education. Can you elaborate on why that is? I mean, that's something that the Marxists always seem to try to pride themselves on, is a public education system, and it turns out to be an indoctrination system instead.
Well, you have private universities in South Africa, and they probably are very expensive. So, you know, they may have public universities as well. But, see, the African societies are tribal societies. So Nelson Mandela actually came from a tribe, but his father was like a king of a tribe. So he was allowed to go and study at university, and he was allowed to become a lawyer. But he basically came from a tribe where he was part of the royalty. So, I mean, he was in the upper echelon of the African tribe. But the vast majority of Africans are not in that rung, so therefore they don't have the same opportunities as the blacks who are the elites. And the elite blacks are the ones that are allowed to go to school. But what I understand is what is happening now is there are African American people who are business people who have the skill sets, who have the education. They're going into South Africa and they're doing very well because they have the preparation to do so. You know, so the South African government is open to African Americans if you have the skill sets that they think will allow you to be successful. And so, you can go there and set up a business enterprise, and as long as you have a business plan that will work and you have the expertise behind it, a person can be very successful. But the problem there, as well as somewhat the problem here, is you have a tremendous wealth gap. You have a large majority of people that are living in dire poverty, and they're not getting any opportunities. They're not getting a chance to go into higher education. So therefore, they're not getting a chance to start up a business enterprise or work in private industry. And that's one of the major problems that South Africa is dealing with now. And as a result of that problem, the crime rate is very high. And like I said, you have organized crime in the form of robbers that are terrorizing the various towns and in that country, and it's causing a situation where some businesses have had to shut down because their customers have been targeted.
Okay. Would you say that the income disparagement in South Africa is greater than it is in the United States? There's a bigger gap?
Yes, I would say it's bigger because there was a minority. The Afrikaner minority was the only group that held property rights or business rights for such a long time. So a lot of their descendants still have some wealth, and the only thing that has happened is the elite tribal leaders and their families have had opportunity to share
in Philly,
the wealth,
I gotta cut
but
you
the vast
off. We're
majority
gonna,
of African
Philly, we're going to break
not.
Here. Okay, so we'll pick this up after the break.
All right.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Hello?
What's up?
What's up?
Sounds like Philly.
Yeah, I'm from Philadelphia, yeah.
Okay, this is South Carolina, man.
Oh.
D229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and Friends. What's up, Sticks? Thank you for hanging in here and getting us moving and started. We're talking about what's on your mind and giving you a little bit of what's on our mind as well. And we're here to talk about whatever's happening currently in the realm of life. We want to talk about it all. We don't want to miss anything that might be something that you need to or want to know. And we're just gonna lay back here on this Monday. A lot of stuff is happening. Sticks and them started out with a very, very good situation talking about Mandela, as he's going to be in the news this week as they're going to do his services this week, the passing of the great father of, and I say that a certain way, great father of the South African people. Now,
hey,
I want
Jeff.
Yes, sir.
I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the president going to Nelson Mandela's funeral and he didn't go to Margaret Thatcher's?
Because Margaret Thatcher doesn't mean a doggone thing to him. Does that answer your question? Margaret Thatcher was one of the greatest women leaders of the last century, period. Whether you liked her, liked what she did, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She had a very good allegiance with President Reagan, okay, and did a number of great things and stopped a lot of things that could have festered into something bigger. like we're getting ready to go through
right now.
Yeah.
But also, I just wanted to add,
ready to allow Iran to get a nuclear weapon. China, like you said, you opened up with China, and their currency went ahead of the euro now as being the
second.
Number two currency in the world.
Right.
And they and Russia have been pushing for what in the United Nations?
Look, they want an international currency is what they want.
That's right. They want to abandon the dollar, right?
Right.
And what will that do to the United States and their printing of money?
Oh, we're done.
We're done.
And Jim Rogers, who's one of the world's leading investors, was on either Fox Business or CNBC the other day, and he thinks about the end of next year, or about halfway through the through 15, we're going to end up with a huge amount of inflation. He thinks all the wheels are going
to
come off.
They have to. There's no other way around it. And,
hello?
You're talking about right now these idiots out here asking for minimum wage to work a McDonald's job.
Well, have you ever started to do the math on that in the state of Ohio?
No, I didn't.
Because we've got in the state of Ohio, and I think California just did it, and I think Washington State does it too. They've tied their minimum wage to the rate of inflation. Now, just think about this. We raise minimum wage to, say, $10 an hour, and we get Jimmy Carter-type inflation. You know, so let's just make it a nice round number of 10%. So next year, minimum wage is going to be $11 an hour. Then the year after that, if it keeps up, it's going to be $12.10 an hour, and so on and so forth. How many years at 10% inflation before you have got a $25, $30, or $40 minimum wage?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, it'll collapse. It has to.
Right.
Hello.
Right.
Well,
there's just no way around it.
And your bread winds up being $15.
I'm doing all of this thing because Republicans are under attack for saying something good about Mandela. And when a lot of, Republicans stood, some did stand against him being freed from prison. Guess what? That's because of the organization he belonged to, and I'm going to explain that just in a few minutes. And guess what? 32 Democrats voted to also keep Mandela in prison. So all you two-faced, hypocritical, far-left-wing, Lake Loon Democrats, put that in your pipe and smoke it. 267-843. Unlisted, even 614, you are up if you want to talk. If you don't, don't worry about it. We'll just keep on going without you. And I wanted to add something. Go ahead.
I want to make a comment about the ANC in terms of that organization. People don't realize the ANC was regarded in the same vein as the Al-Qaeda. That was a terrorist organization. And
absolutely.
And the reason why Mandela was jailed for 27 years because they had engaged in terrorist bombings in South Africa.
Absolutely.
Where there were several people were killed.
Absolutely.
And that's the reason why he was placed in jail for so long.
Right.
And at one time, the United States government considered the ANC and the members of that organization to be terrorists.
Well, they were. There's no doubt
right.
about it. But here, let's put the caveat on this discussion. As we have to do the whole history of how it came to be that the ANC gained power in South Africa. The South Africans begged the West, and I mean literally begged them to come in and stop the apartheid. They ignored them time and time and time again. People were dying in the streets. People were being mishandled and beaten. It was just worse than what was going on here post-slavery. And so Nelson Mandela and his people, and it was before, you know, it was in the 40s we're talking about. Nelson Mandela and them, with nowhere else to go to get relief for their situation, went to the ANC. Now, that's why. Yes, he's a Marxist. Yes, he is a atheist in that sense. But let's put it like this. What do you do when nobody else wants to stop your people from getting the hell beat out of them in the streets, when they don't have any access to any capital, and you use a statement saying that, oh, yeah, well, they built that area. Well, guess what? On our backs, they built the South as well, as far as African Americans go. Should we have just let the South stay the South, or should we have stopped that most heinous practice called slavery in America?
Right, but the only point I was trying to make by saying that was the Afrikaners were a small minority in that country,
yeah,
in terms of their population. But
absolutely.
But it was them as a group that had built that society. So they instituted apartheid to ensure that they would still have control over that society.
Okay, and is that right to do? Because they came from Germany. They were the Dutch. Okay, they came
right.
from Europe, I should say. They were the Dutch. They came
right.
in and they took advantage of the situation, and they moved people off of their land, and they took
right.
that land that we have that we call South Africa. Now, I'm hoping
then,
my sister...
But then also someone could turn around and say South Africa would not be South Africa if the Dutch hadn't moved into that area, meaning that
America
everything
would
that
not
was
be
built
America
there
if
in terms of the universities... The infrastructure, it was all built by them.
America would not be America if you didn't have the slave trade as it was. Because
yeah.
with that situation, America was built.
But also at the time that Martin Luther King came along in the Civil Rights Movement, America was going to move toward a situation where they were going to integrate anyway. So it was just it was and as far as slavery is concerned, what
no
had happened
what
was,
mean.
but as far as slavery is concerned, what happened was, you in the South you had an agricultural economy. They had tried different races to work the cotton fields. No other race could do it except the West African blacks, because
mm-hmm.
of the heat. The West African blacks could stand the heat, and they were able to work those fields. So, you know, and that's the reason why the whole situation with slavery, that's the main reason why it kind of lasted so long, because the South had basically built a slave economy. And so once they were able to develop machines that were able to assist them with the picking of cotton, that's when the whole structure of slavery started to collapse.
Doesn't matter.
Because and eventually, once they perfected different types of farm equipment, the process of slavery was eventually over time going to go away. Because of the fact that they didn't need that physical labor anymore.
Okay.
So the whole problem with the Civil War was it was an economic problem, mm-hmm. because you had the industrial North, which had developed factories, and in the South you had the slave economy that was built on physical labor. So the South said, look, we're not going to collapse our economy and give up slavery. So that's the main reason why they fought the Civil War. And what Abraham Lincoln was trying to do, he was trying to preserve the Union. He didn't want to see the South start to secede and form its own country because of the fact they had this slave economy, and then the North had more of an industrial economy. So, you know, he didn't want to see the whole situation turned into a situation where they had like two separate nations. So
okay.
that's the reason why they fought the Civil War.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter.
But also at the same time,
I ain't but also in. It doesn't matter. I'm cutting to the chase here. I don't want a lot of explanation about history that we already know. It doesn't matter. The matter was you had people serving other people for free in America, and they were being sold. They were being merchandised. The Bible speaks of merchandising the poor. We were sold, sometimes by the Arabs, sometimes by our own people, into slavery out of Western Africa. Okay? Now, as it goes, it doesn't matter. It was still what happened.
But the act of slavery is talked about in the Bible and in certain parts of the Bible, slavery is sanctioned. What happened in North America had a situation of chattel slavery where people were born into slavery. Normally in the ancient world, you were put into a process of slavery if you owed a debt to someone else. So therefore, you had to work a certain amount of time as a slave. These practices date back to the ancient world.
I said you're gonna make me cut you off because you keep explaining things I don't want to hear about. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Biblical slavery had nothing to do with the slavery in America and in the European countries. It was a totally different thing.
What I said is you had chattel slavery in North America, whereas the process of slavery was different in the ancient world. It was based on if you owe debts to other people.
You could sell yourself into slavery. There was all types of things you could do. It was a different thing. It was an agreement, and not only that, you got paid, and you could even raise your family at the same time, and then you could put them sell them into servitude as well. You must understand, this is not the type of slavery we had here, which I don't want people that are listening to misconstrue.
But that's not what I said. I didn't say it was
I don't want people to misconstrue that, and there's lots of people listening. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So I understand all of that. We're getting ready to go here to a news break in about 20 minutes. Unlisted caller and 614, you're open if you want to speak. But, it's just crazy.
What I find crazy is that Ted Cruz and Newt Gingrich commemorated the passing of Nelson Mandela, they got a lot of hate from their own constituents, from people who said that they were going to support him, but now can't support him because they felt some type of way about Nelson Mandela.
Okay, well then screw them. Okay, because there's something here this morning now, and we're going to talk about it on the other side of the news. Screw their constituency that are doing that because they're looking at it in one way, and then I understand why they're doing it, but we'll talk about that on the other side. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends.
I'm confused. I don't know what Jeff's upset about. Does anybody else? Hello?
constituency is upset because they had something good to say about Nelson Mandela. Well, let me tell you this. There are people in this country that never get it. They're not going to get it. And not only that, they don't want to. They want to stay just like what they are, and they don't want any changes to anything. And those people are who they are. In our area, during the 2008 elections, there were Democrats that voted in the primary for Hillary Clinton. When Hillary Clinton did not get the nomination, they did not vote for Barack Obama, and they said so. The second time around, just last year, when Barack Obama ran again, some of them went and voted for Mitt Romney. Now, you're going to think I'm absolutely out of my mind and a fool, but I'm telling you, you can take this one to the bank, and I'll put dollars to donuts, and I don't even eat donuts, on this one. Because they were removed from their position inside the Democrat Party for doing so. So now, I'm telling you that I don't care whose constituency says what about Cruz and them saying, doing the right thing by honoring Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela was a terrorist. Nelson Mandela was subversive to the government that was mistreating his people, and he felt the only way that he could help them was to join the ANC and fight against the government that was suppressing his people and his land. Understand, this land was taken from the South African people by the white Dutch Afrikaners. Yes, they did develop a lot of things there. Yes, they did. But when you oppress the people just to stay in power, then you need to be removed, and they were.
Now, Jeff, how do you feel about the president ordering all the flags flown at half-staff in the United States over this?
He was a world leader, and he turned into a friend of the United States. But I don't recall
the flags ever being ordered to be flown at half-staff for any foreign leader. If anybody knows of one, call me and let me know. But I don't remember ever flying, because that's military etiquette.
It's military.
Because we don't dip.
Margaret Thatcher.
The United States.
I was going to say, I'm like, Margaret Thatcher, they had the flags flown at half staff.
Yes, they did.
They did? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You know, and what he did, because when he did get power, he did not turn and say revenge. Now, some people did, because a lot of white farmers have been, you know, attacked and even murdered, and their land being taken or just pushed off of the land, which you can expect to have happen because of the decades of mistreatment by the Afrikaners.
Centuries.
Yeah, really centuries. So this is not one of those black and white issues. There's a lot of gray areas here, and, you know, I'll just say it, you know, Nelson Mandela impressed me with his action after he got out of prison, because he could have went right back to doing what he was doing in the first place.
Well, once he had the presidency of the country, he could have done amazingly damaging things.
Of course he could have. But their Congress per se did do some things, you know, with land ownership and things like that. And yes, Philadelphia was correct in saying that, you know, just a lot of the elite blacks are the ones that are getting the land and getting the opportunities, and which is how Marxism works. Okay.
Well, yeah, Marxism is a government of the elite, by the elite, and for the elite.
For the elite. That's precisely what it is, what you see going on right now in our mm-hmm. country. But, Dave, I want you to finish your point. I don't want you to go nowhere.
Oh, I was done.
You were done? No, you were saying that you were...
You addressed it. I was just shocked that Ted Cruz and Newt Gingrich was getting turned on by their own people. I mean,
That's nothing to be confused about. Republicans turn on each other all the time when somebody says something we disagree with.
That's true.
I wasn't confused. I was shocked because I didn't know. I'm younger than most people, so I didn't realize that there was this much vitriol towards Nelson Mandela. By the time I came into the world and started understanding about a lot of this stuff, he was revered as a great political figure.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Seeing all this backlash, especially from the right against their own about this, it threw me for a loop. So.
Okay. Well, that's understandable. I mean, since you are just a pup.
Yeah, and the background on all of this is what people don't know. Which would be a good study for you to see who he really was, and not that he was not a terrorist. He was a terrorist. He went to jail because he bombed up a bunch of stuff mm-hmm. and killed some people off. So you know we're not saying that he was correct in handling it the way he handled it, but he saw no other choice than to handle it the way he did.
I think what you're saying is the man matured.
Not only that, he matured, but he also saw the need not to have to go back to war.
Right.
You know, in that sense. There was no way that was going to work. His people wouldn't – it wouldn't have worked because the world would have turned
against there was a lot of – I remember Robin Williams doing stand-up skits about South Africa when they were doing away with apartheid. You know, he did a stand-up skit about haven't the South Africans ever heard of George Custer?
Yeah,
you know. So I mean, there was a lot of international pressure on South Africa to change that system.
Well, you know, like I said, that's what you have to look at. 334, you're live.
Yeah, how you doing? What's up, y'all?
Good,
Alabama.
Yeah, y'all catch the game this weekend on Saturday? Diva?
He's calling the vote because Ohio State.
You go.
No. Wait, actually, I did call the vote, but I'm going to just say this, man. I'm happy either way this time because old boy Jameis Winston is from Montgomery. So, mm-hmm. I mean, not from Birmingham. And, I mean, Auburn, they did their thing, you know what I'm saying? And, I mean, I knew Ohio State wasn't that good, and it showed. So, when they played the top 10 team, they lost. So, And they all is right in the universe. And that's that. I mean, I don't know if we're going to beat Clemson.
I don't know why we had this echo. Somebody got a radio on.
Say what?
Somebody had a radio on and we were getting the echo feedback. So it's
That's all. I just felt like, you know, guy, you guys really went in on me last week. I was like, you know, Alabama lost, Diva. You know, I said, okay. So
I was not gloating that Alabama lost. I was just pointing out to you that Alabama lost because
We're undefeated. I'm like, okay.
And we were undefeated and remained undefeated in our regular season.
How?
So.
Say what?
That's all right. Okay. You know, you can't win them all.
This is my thing.
If the Crimson Tide sure enough bled a little bit the other week.
In
so
the conference where you'll be challenged a little more, join the Pac-12. Then we might say, okay, they're a little, because they got to play some tough games. You got at least three tough games. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, you hadn't played anybody. So, and that's the thing. Now, Florida State is a real team. So even though they hadn't played nobody, I think Florida State going to win. I think Florida State going to win. Going to beat Auburn.
I ain't a fan of college football anyway, so we're gonna go ahead and leave this one alone till Friday.
It wasn't a good day for Cleveland. Cleveland had a rough day yesterday too, man. I mean, that was tough.
Well, Cleveland can't play 12 men because
they cheated y'all, man. That interference thing,
that's what
they cheated y'all. Y'all had the game.
Three terrible calls that were nowhere near the right call, especially on the offside kick, and then
you don't decide
that,
a game on a you don't decide a whole game on a little tap. Like you don't, not the last Hail Mary play of a game on a little jostling for position. You don't call no done whole.
He didn't even touch him then. He touched him way before he got in the end zone. But the thing is he reached around and he didn't even touch him. Reaching around him, and the ball was way out in front of him. No way he didn't hold him back or nothing. So I'm proudly wearing my Cleveland Browns gear. Local caller, you're in the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I just tuned in. I wanted to do a parallel here. Now, we have to cut back on our budgets, right, when things get bad. Now, I was thinking of Benghazi. They watched it on their Skype that night.
Go ahead.
But now, the president and his family, they went to Africa already this year, right, for vacation, spent money?
Yeah.
But why couldn't they do Skype? Why do they have to use the money at a time like this for the funeral? Couldn't they do Skype?
No, come on now.
This is heads of state stuff. I mean, you know, by all rights, the president should have went to Margaret Thatcher's funeral.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what the leading country in the world does, is our leaders go attend these state funerals. I mean, that's just what you do.
But you will not see Obama attend one funeral if somebody is not a Marxist or progressive. Guarantee you.
He sent somebody to Chavez's, right?
He sent a delegation to Chavez's funeral. Why, I don't know.
I had another point. I don't know if I can mention it, or is it anything we can talk about?
Open mic Monday.
Just don't curse.
Yeah. the commissaries, I heard they want to close now of our bases.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that saves them money when they live on base. They want to close them.
They don't want you. They want to redistribute the wealth, my dear.
Yep, yep.
And that's what health care is all about. That's what closing down the coal industry is all about. It's all about redistribution of wealth.
Can you help me remember the adjective or adverb, whatever our president used? He downed our policies. But now Zeke Emanuel says, you can keep your policies if you pay more. But before, Obama downed them.
Well,
somewhere they weren't good policies or, you know, I'm trying to think of the adjective.
Can I say it like this? They accused Bush of lying. And Bush didn't lie, but this man
steroids.
Has put this man does exactly. He has put lying on steroids. He lies for any reason. He lied about even knowing his own freaking uncle. So now, how are we going to deal with somebody and trust somebody that would lie about knowing the uncle he lived with? That's a liar. That's somebody that's incorrigible. Go ahead.
The millennials don't want this Obamacare, and they want him out. That's the latest I heard. I was flipping.
Well, that's what it is, and so we're going to go to break. We'll see you back on the other side. I'm going to leave it open. Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy.
You know what? Y'all changed it. Y'all, last week when Alabama lost, y'all, I had to talk on the phone about 40 minutes. Three and four people at the same time. Ohio State lose, I get 30 seconds, and y'all want to move.
issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And we're back once again. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends at 7 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock. And we're here talking to you about what's on your mind and listening. I hope you're listening to what we're saying here ourselves. I in no way support terrorism as a norm. But you have to say one thing. When people are desperate, they're going to do desperate things. And that's why you may have a huge problem South Africa, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not going to dwell on this all day. We're going to bring up, in fact, I'm going to wait till the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
Then we're going to bring up a quote or a little thing by Melissa Harris-Perry, who I think is an idiot. I'm sorry.
She's a very highly paid one, though.
A very highly paid idiot, but she's an idiot because she said once the other day that it was the Democrats that freed the slaves. And she said it with a straight face. And I listened to this.
Abraham Lincoln was a Democrat.
Yeah,
right?
Abraham Lincoln was a Democrat.
Okay.
Before he was a Republican, he was a Democrat, you know.
Okay.
That's sort of like I was for the war before I was against it.
Yeah.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah. Or you can keep your health care.
Oh, of course. You can keep your health care and your doctor as long as you pay more.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I never met my uncle.
Yeah, but for some reason I have a key to his house. Where'd that come from? What?
You know, and the sad thing about all of this stuff is just be honest with the American people. That's
no.
all.
Well, see, I think he's had this problem all his life. That's my
you
own personal.
You think he's a pathological liar?
I think he's a pathological liar because he lies for no reason. He lies when he doesn't have to. Now, when you lie when you don't have to, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why we don't see any medical records.
You think there might be something
okay.
in the psyche, though?
Hold on, Diva. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the noise you were talking about? Hello?
Yeah, man. You
had a noise in the background.
Okay, it's back.
But
now. We got.
But there was just one thing I wanted to say in terms of the Boers and South Africa. What over a long period of time, over 100 years, the Boers fought wars with both the British and the Zulu nations in southern Africa, and it was a process where they fought a war to claim that land. So people get the picture that they just went down there and they took the land from dumb Africans. No, it didn't happen that way. They basically went through the Transvaal, a region, and they fought for over 100 years, and it was wars back and forth. And some of the wars were some of those wars were actually won by the Zulu nations down there. But what they did is they persisted to move down into that region and to fight for that land. So the situation in southern Africa is not that different. Like in terms of the situation that you have over in Israel, in terms of the Israelis and the way they deal with the Arabs, nations that are around them, they basically went into that region and they had to fight wars to actually claim that land. And that's the same thing that the Boers did. They fought wars over many years to claim that land.
Okay.
I'm saying that the picture that the public is given is that they went down to southern Africa and they basically just grabbed the land from the black Africans, and the Africans didn't fight back. No, the Africans fought back. They fought back for over 100 years. But what happened was they lost those wars. So as a result of them losing those wars, the Boers were able to take claim of the land. So therefore, their situation is not different than what you have in Israel. And in terms of the Jews,
No. Can't let you go there.
The Jews have to deal with the Palestinians.
Let you go there.
We're not going there.
You can't go there because that ain't correct. It ain't the same. Not at all. It's totally different.
Sir, that is the same situation.
No, it is not the same situation.
The Jews have fought wars with the Arabs. The Jews have fought wars with the Arabs to basically get the land of Israel over a long period of time.
The Africans never owned that land before they got there.
But the Jews had to assemble a military and fight to get that land.
Okay, now, I had to shut you off because you won't listen. We're going to go back and forth here. I'm not going to let you filibuster me because this is not the House or the Senate. And the show says afternoon with Tracy and friends. Sticks and I are co-hosts. And guess what? We run this up in here. We run this, okay? So now, when you're ready to go back and forth, we can go back again. But you're not going to sit up there and filibuster. It is not the same as Israel and the Palestinians because Israel owned the land at one time and they lost it due to being in a war, and then they took it back because of war. They went back and forth over centuries until you saw what happened in 1948, because Israel was dispersed across the earth, if you don't remember. And then when they came back, they took the land back, and the United Nations... Go ahead.
Yeah, actually, the Israel of today is a much smaller piece of land than the piece of land that is described in the Bible.
That they actually owned. And before it's all over, they will own it all again. And I know nobody wants to hear that.
The only claim that the Israelis had to the land of Israel was what they said in terms of their right to return and in terms of what they believed the process of Zionism was all about. That's the only claim they had to that land. The only way they've been able to hold on to it is they have built an army and a military that allows them to hold a certain claim onto that territory. If they didn't have that military there in place, they would not be able to hold on to that land. So in fact, a lot of the leaders in Israel realized that the way their nation was formed was very similar to the way the South African nation was formed. And for a long time, South Africa and Israel were allies in both the UN and in other types of international types of arenas. They were allies for a long time.
Why were they allies?
They were allies on a lot of issues before the whole situation with apartheid was discussed, and before people started the process of protest against apartheid here in this country and around the world, South Africa and the Nation of Israel were definite allies.
Okay,
well,
once again,
you got some errors there. For one thing, any Arab living inside the confines of Israel has full Israeli citizenship.
Yeah.
Always has had. So you cannot
And that was something that the Israeli government agreed to, but it doesn't take away the fact that that the Israelis had to set up a military to fight to keep and to hold on to that land. And that's why the IDF is in place today.
Yeah, because Egypt and the other Arab states continued to wage war on them. But Palestine didn't even exist, period, until the Romans invaded that area.
But Palestine was recognized by
the
British.
They changed
the
name. The Romans changed the name.
The Palestinians were recognized by the British, and it was the British that actually named the region Palestine. Because evidently, when the British first went over there, they found that there were people that were living there, and they named the region Palestine.
Okay. Now, once again, it's nowhere near the same situation. Once again, uh-uh. Sorry, dog. I don't care how much of allies they were, and they were. Okay. But the thing is, they were that
but,
because
sir,
of his death. Can I finish?
I'm just look. I'm
uh-uh,
just trying
no,
to make things
nothing.
To you that you
okay.
that you may
see
not
you.
Know.
See you. Okay, now you can give it to me, but I was making a point, and then you cut across me after I sat there patiently and let you ramble on, okay, about the whole situation. Now, here it goes. You're going to go back and forth with me. You're not going to Bogart me, okay? That's over with. That's not going to happen. So now, Israel and South Africa had investments together in gold and the Krugerrand and all of that stuff. And if you don't realize that, then I'm sorry. And you also have to remember something that you don't know. They're flying out of Africa daily tons of what they call Falasha Jews and bringing them, flying them, the
yeah,
African
and that,
Jews.
And that all
and
falls
flying,
under
can
Zionism.
Can I finish, please? Okay, here
that's,
we go.
That's part of...
Here we go. I didn't say you weren't going to get a chance to answer, but you're going to get cut off every time. I have the switch here. You don't have that switch. Okay, and they're flying out of Africa on a weekly basis. Thousands of African Jews, black African Jews, called Falasha Jews. They are more orthodox than the orthodoxy of the orthodoxiest Jews in Israel, New York, or any place else on the planet. Not only that, they have brought with them something that the Jews need to do if they're going to start their temple back again. They have the ashes of the red heifer, and they have the blue dye for the bottom of the phylacteries of the priest in Israel. That is a special dye that they need to have so that the priestly garments can be made again. And from what I understand, the priestly garments are in production and have been in production for a couple of years, a few years now, with at least the last 5 to 10 years. I don't care nothing about your Zionism thing. I'm telling you what's getting ready to happen. And now,
yeah.
sir, you
and
may give your
Zionism
opinion.
It's under Zionism that Jews from around the world are allowed to go to Israel. It's under
okay.
the philosophy of Zionism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the reason why they seek out Jews in Russia and Ethiopia, and they're all allowed to be people who are citizens of Israel because they believe that they have the right to the land that comes from the Bible, and they believe that was the promised land that was given to them after
very
you know
few of
they
them believe
the
that,
commandments.
You know. Very few of
and
them
Moses
believe that.
And all of that.
Did you hear what I just said? You paid no attention
what?
To me. I said very few of them believe that.
That's
they
what
don't
the,
believe what I know
what
it, I know what the Bible.
That's what Zionism is about.
The Zionists
most of the
don't
Jews
run the
that
country.
Live in Israel are the religious Jews. Most of them are the Hasidic Jews that actually have a residence in Israel and a residence in America. Those those are the main ones that move over there.
You ever
because
been
they
there?
Believe in those biblical rights to
you ever been
the
there?
Land of Canaan.
You ever been there?
I mean, actually, I have been to Jerusalem, yes.
Okay, well, my sister's been there 3 times, and she has friends there, et cetera, et cetera. I'm telling you this. A whole lot of them don't believe that story. That's
yeah,
why you have people.
Because you have a lot of secular Jews living over there, but the ones that are the religious Jews, they definitely have a voice in the government in terms of the philosophy of their process of recruiting Jews from around the world and allowing them to have a certain them to have a certain type of citizenship inside
hey,
the country.
Hey, Diva, you there? Okay, you might not be there. I'll catch you next time. But I'll say it like this. This cat worse than you are. he interrupts like you. I ain't never seen that before. Never thought I'd be able to say that one. But when we come back, we're going to lead off with a little
soundbite
from Melissa Harris Perry, who I think is an idiot. Okay, and I think she's won because of this. She says anything that comes to the top of her head to try to prove her leftist Marxist. progressive socialist point. And I say all those things because that's what she is, not because I'm calling somebody names. These are what these people do. The president is a Marxist socialist. That's what he is. Plain and simple. Marxists redistribute wealth and destroy economies. But, of course, if you don't know how things work, you don't know. But anyway, we'll talk about it afternoon with Tracy and friends. We'll be right back.
Your car will look brand new after a...
I want to talk today about a controversial word. It's a word that has been with us for years. And like it or not, it's indelibly printed in the pages of American history. A word that was originally intended as a derogatory term, meant to shame and divide and demean. The word was conceived of by a group of wealthy white men who needed a way to put themselves above and apart from a black man, to render him inferior and unequal, and to diminish his accomplishments. President Obama has been labeled with this word by his opponents. And at first, he rose above it, hoping that if he could just make a cause for what he'd achieved, his opponents would fail in making their label stick. But no matter how many successes that he had as president, he realized there were still many people for whom he'd never be anything more than that one disparaging word. A belief he knew was held not just by his political opponents, but also by a significant portion of the American electorate. And so he decided, if you can't beat him, you got to join him. And he embraced the word and made it his own, sending his opposition a message they weren't expecting. If that's what you want me to be, I'll be that. Y'all know the word that I'm talking about. Obamacare. That's right, I said it, and I'm not ashamed, and neither is President Obama, because he knows that of all his victories over two terms in office, his legacy is ultimately going to be remembered for this one single word. I mean, what do you call the president who rescues the U.S. auto industry? Obamacare. What do you call the president who finally eliminates Osama bin Laden? Obamacare. What do you call the president who ends Don't Ask, Don't Tell? Say it with me. Obamacare. heard the one about the president who pulled us out of the greatest recession since the Great Depression? Yep, Obamacare. And what about the one, you know, about the president who reduced drug sentencing disparities? Obamacare. Stop if you have heard this one. A group of underpaid women and the president who passed a pay equity law walk into a bar. Okay, you see where I'm going with this. Short of bringing about world peace before he leaves office, the Affordable Care Act will loom large in the president's legacy as the singular accomplishment of his two terms. And now, following the relaunch of a new and improved and fully operational healthcare.gov website, the president is not only owning it, but doubling down and putting a bright spotlight on the Obama in Obamacare. This week, the White House announced that it's going to be all ACA every day from now until December 23rd enrollment deadline for coverage on January 1st. Starting with the president himself, who has been pulling his best Rick Ross, you know, hustling almost every day this week to make the hard sell on the Affordable Care Act. This was his pitch on Tuesday.
I'm going to need some help in spreading the word. I need you to spread the word about the law, about its benefits, about its protections, about how folks can sign up. Tell your friends, tell your family. Do not let the initial problems with the website discourage you.
And this was President Obama on Wednesday.
I'm going to need you all to spread the word about how the Affordable Care Act really works, what its benefits are, what its protections are, and most importantly, how people can sign up. I know people call this law Obamacare, and that's okay, because I do care, and I do.
And this was President Obama on Thursday.
My advice to everybody is, the website's now working. Go to healthcare.gov, take a look for yourself in your state, what's available to you. There is no reason why you should not have health insurance.
See, I wasn't exaggerating. Every day he's hustling. And over the next 3 weeks, if you go a day without hearing from President Obama on Obamacare, you can be sure it's because he's passed the mic to Democratic members of Congress, the Democratic National Committee, Democratic Congressional Campaign Committees, or advocacy organizations to help him deliver his message. And if you miss the message on television, the White House has promised that you'll find it on Facebook and Twitter, even in your inbox. After an early fumble with the rollout, this is President Obama on offense, driving hard to penetrate the GOP defensive line. And he is playing to win.
Sticks, you got that air sickness bag. Don't we have one on the back of the compartment?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Please hand it because I think I'm about to be sick on the air.
Well, I got one. Yeah, I ain't sharing it with you. I'm watching this video, and I'm looking at her facial expressions and stuff. I mean, this woman's in love. I mean, she's just...
Well, no, she's crazy. I mean,
I mean,
literally. Let's face it. The Democrats have two crazy people working for them that are prominent women. She's one of them. And then I cannot think of the lady in Congress that was running.
Talking about the one from Texas.
Yeah. It was, Texas or California? She said that if you want me to give up, we'll give up, because she was sick because Obama did nothing for the black community in his first 4 years. And then he told them to sit down and shut up. You know, we're moving on through. And she sat down and shut up. Why can't I think of this woman's name? But I think she's the dumbest woman in Congress, because she says just totally backwards. Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi is absolutely insane. But, of course, nobody's going to say that because she's liberal. And it doesn't matter. We have to pass the bill before it. We can find out what's in it, because that's the only way. If we pass it and then we spring it on you, then we can take you over. Dingell, Senator Dingell.
John Dingell.
Mm-hmm, John Dingell. He said as much. Okay, that was the deal, we have to do all this just so we can take things over, take people over.
Yeah.
He said it. I can't believe it.
I mean, that's the progressives' end game. I mean, that's what they want. They want total control, and that's what they're teaching these people in these Ivy League schools. Is they're teaching them that you are inferior to me, and I need to run your life because you're too stupid to run your own life.
But, Jeff, you know.
I heard that.
Just
there's no doubt about it. Okay, Alabama, you're live. Diva, you're live.
Yeah. I was just saying you really don't have to. I don't think you have to fight this bill. It doesn't need to be fought. It's inherently flawed. Just let it work its course, run its course. I mean, it's just going to destroy jobs, business. You don't have to try to go out and do a campaign. It's not a campaign. He can campaign all he wants. People are going to feel it in their pockets next year. And after the November elections 2014, regardless whether they win or lose, people are going to suffer. And that's what people need to do. I've said this 1,000 times. People need to feel some pain. So let it run. I mean, it's because it's like it's going in that direction. Regardless, every move you kicking and screaming, and it's still going in that direction where he wants it to go. So let him have his little moment in the sun, because in the long run, people are going to suffer. And nobody really cares until – till it's their paycheck, till it's their job and their, you know, their family paying. I know a guy, he said he had to go from, what was it, $350 a month to $1,100. I mean, this is what's going on to people. You can't, you know, this is tailor-made. Like, he made a bill that's going to hurt him way faster than he thought it would. It's moving too fast. The plan was to destroy the economy, but not this fast, because he wants to destroy it and build it back up like he wants it. But it's moving too fast. It's going to destroy too many jobs. And a friend of mine working in a bank, we went to high school together and played ball together. He was just telling me how that Dodd-Frank bill is really ruining a lot of loans next year. People are not going to be taking. So it's going to ruin the economy. And that's what's supposed to happen. So you can't he can go out and speak and use the one gift he really has, which is his polished orating skills. That's about all he got right now. That's his only one, and people are tired of that. We know that. It's like the girl that got the big butt and the pretty face, but she's spending all your money. Yeah, after a while, you say, okay, you can be as cute. You can have as much sex as you want. Eventually, that gets old. You're like, look, I'm getting tired of her. You know, everybody else, you know. So I think he's running his course, and people are going to suffer. And when he gets out, I think it's by design. And I'm not even going to knock Obama about it. I think it's by design that he gets out, and people are going to be sick of him by the time he gets out. But it's going to be because there was a goal set in by the elites to destroy certain things.
Well, Alabama, what about the cancer, though? I mean, this law infiltrates every corner of the United States. I mean, once it's metastasized.
Do you think the Republicans, let me ask you this, do you think if the Republicans win in 2016 that this is going to stop? Every person that gets in office, they love power. They love control.
Right.
They're all the same.
Right.
They're going to get in there, and they're going to feel. They're going to keep it. We're going to take this part off so you don't hurt as bad. They may do that, but you're still going to suffer under Republicans.
I agree with you. They want Republicare.
I think it's stupid all around. I think they could have did something with the insurance without doing this. They think they did something with insurance.
Well,
no,
they keep. They keep thinking more regulation is the answer, and if you look, less regulation always makes for
gets to the point, Sticks, when they destroy everything and we're down to 50 cents, I mean, people are struggling, then the only answer is going to be, okay, well, we'll take that. They're going to make it where their only option is the government. That's the only choice that they're going to feel like they have left over. When they get through and all the jobs are gone, they're going to raise minimum wage. Dumb decisions. No, you can sit and explain to these people, well, the way they're printing the dollar, you can show them the dollars, the way it works, why gas is $3 right now, why. I went to the store yesterday to buy some bacon at Winn-Dixie. It was $8.59. I counted. It was 14 strips of bacon for $8.59. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people, you know, people hurting. You can say what you want about Save the. She said, what was that, Melissa Harris Perry? You can say what you want about save the economy, brought it back from the – we're finna go way down. This economy is finna dip like that movie. What was it? The Day After Tomorrow, the guy was telling his son, like, look, it's going to get really, really bad.
That's
what it's going to do. It's going to get
the thing is, they've already got the Supreme Court decisions in place to control the control the populace, because they can use that same Wickard versus Filburn decision about the guy growing wheat for his own use on anybody growing anything to eat. I mean, I think you're going to see a time where you're not allowed to eat anything that doesn't have a USDA stamp on it, regardless of where it came from.
I mean, why not? I mean, the thing is, power is intoxicating. We've seen through history, every civilization all the way back to Babylon on up, every time somebody gets in charge, they get a certain amount of level of power, they start self-worshipping, and then the civilization is destroyed. We see this over and over and over.
Oh, yeah.
What do? We get a guy in the White House. We do the exact, you know, that's why when they made the Constitution, they looked back, he looked at the different schools of thought, Thomas Locke, Robespierre, all these different people, when they were trying to make the, Thomas Jefferson came out and thought about it and came out with the Constitution. He did it the way he did because he looked back. And you look at the Holy Roman Empire, you look at all this history, and then you try to set it up a certain way, and we swung the pendulum as far as we can. Now we're trying to tape the pendulum to where it stays on one side. It's not going to swing back. And if it does swing back, it's going to take bloodshed. I mean, it's at that point.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Constitution was supposed to let the country operate just as absolutely as close to anarchy as it could without being an anarchy.
I would rather there be states that you look. If you want a state where you want to pay for people from the cradle to the grave, go right ahead. You can do that experiment. States can be like experiments. You can do what you want to do in a state, but you can't just say everybody across the whole country. Is one, and the federal government is one way. Now the states can't operate independently because, well, you can't leave. Like, now you just can't leave. Like, you stuck in the, you know, it's just like that.
Right.
So.
Well, that's the way it was supposed to operate, and that's the way it did operate until about 1890. You know, that's why they originally laid out that senators were selected by the state legislatures so that the states actually had a seat in D.C., And you wouldn't have these guys running for office all the time. I mean, what they did was genius, and in about 1890 was when we started dismantling it.
Well, I think we're in for a long haul. I think we're in for some rough road ahead, a rough time ahead. We really are.
Well,
and
did you hear about the yuan last week?
The who?
The yuan, the Chinese currency. You heard about that last week, right?
No, what happened?
It just overtook the euro as the second most used currency for international trade.
Oh, okay.
And with that,
we don't know. We like a lot of black people, a lot of like Pan Africans and stuff, screaming, "Go back! We're gonna go back." The Chinese.
Hey, we're about to go to break, Doc. We'll be right back after these messages.
Michael.
Afternoon with Trace. I don't know if you got anybody in there, but I will. Afternoon with Trace.
Alabama.
What's up?
Hey. You know, I appreciate you so much. I appreciate all you. this is Dee from up here in Warren. But, you know, I'm concerned. I understand what you're saying. Go ahead and let things happen. But I'm just so concerned that, you know, there are hidden things in that bill. We don't realize the far-reaching impact.
I'm saying it's going to get so bad financially, you cannot raise minimum wage at the same time you're forcing people to pay for insurance too. And you're doing all this in a fell swoop, like within a couple of 2-3 year span. People can't afford all that, and I understand. So businesses are going to shut down, but it has to happen. Otherwise, if you allow these businesses, this is what I'm saying, if these businesses stay open and they're functioning at during their break even or losing money, well, first of all, it just won't happen. People ain't going to lose money too long. They're going to shut down. But it has when jobs are lost, it's going to create a bunch of people going into the government, which in turn, when people vote for, you know, now you're looking at their pockets, who are they going to vote for? They're going to vote for Democrats because they're going to say, well, I'm scared because I can't pay my light bill, I can't pay my water bill unless there's a guy that's pro-government. So we're going to get upwards of 70-80% tax rates, and they're going to do that, you know, basically, you know, people don't feel like it's a problem. Well, it's not me. They're not taking my money. That's the mentality. So it's not enough people kicking in financially to pay, and we're going to keep losing our credit rating. I mean, we're going to almost become third world. I mean, it's just that it has to happen, though. Then out of that, we're going to have to change. But we can't change on a dime when it's debatable. Like that lady just made that point. It has to be without a shadow of a doubt shown that the points that that lady was just making when they came back from break was just completely stupid. But you have to, in order for that to happen, you have to let it, it's going to have to happen, because right now it's up for debate. People think, well, the Republicans, like, when they get finished running this bill through and raising minimum wage, you can't say the Republicans, you can't. They fought him on it, but that's about it. But he got it. He got Obamacare through. It's passed. Supreme Court held it up.
But it seems that there's a majority of people who are going to benefit, and they will plunder the minority. I mean, they can confiscate anything.
I'm gonna tell you something. I just had a situation a couple of weeks ago. Well, last week, lost my job. Right, I got a job in 2 days, and actually pays more. Right, I'm not going to. They hit me for about 25% just on the federal level. That's before I pay for any insurance, anything. Every job I take. So it gets to a certain point when people get to a certain. I'm not going to get up and go out here and bust my butt and get off and get up in the morning and go struggle. Yeah, I make more than the average person, but, I mean, I'm just saying. You still have to – it comes to a point in time where people have to want to pull their own weight. And if they don't want to do that, then I don't think it's heartless for me to say, you know what, then you just have to starve. Because when you say that to a person, they're not going to starve. They're going to become the most creative, innovative people you ever want to see. A lot of these people that's out here surviving off the government, they'll be creative. They'll find ways to survive. But they won't do this until you take this stuff from them.
We would teach them that. But the bottom line is our government's just going to keep printing money and giving it to them. And the people who will be ruined are those like us.
Honestly, I don't think they're printing money and giving it to them. They're printing money and giving it to the bankers. That's who's really getting the money. Not... You print $3.2 trillion and give it to – I mean, that money is held – there's a reason they've all doubled their – the average billionaire has doubled his
Both
years
are being taken care of, and we're in the middle being forgotten. But I think, bottom line, this money is being handed out to both, you know, the top and the bottom to get their vote.
When you put people
local caller, you just called in.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Bonnie?
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Dee, it's not Bonnie.
Dee, sorry, sweetie.
It's all right. I was just telling Alabama, I'm so concerned. I don't think we can allow this to fail. I think we can't let – we have to try to intervene now and stop it. And, you know, we had a discussion, a group of Christians. Yeah, we were talking about the, you know, gay marriage, how that, you know, came in and how it's, you know, state by state now, you know, becoming the law of the land. But I was shocked to hear some Christians say that they can separate their personal religious beliefs and their political beliefs. They can acknowledge that homosexuality is a sin, but they can say that they are pro-gay marriage. We were talking, and I said, well, you know, what's the foundation for that? They said, well, we don't believe that the government should legislate morality. I said, but when you endorse something like that, you are legislating immorality.
Absolutely.
You've got to take the stand. And I think now there are people that are getting caught up in this with everything that's coming, the health care, you know, the same-sex marriage, the, you know, intrusion, you know, in our life with EPA regulations, and they think, well, this will play itself out. I don't think it will. I think we've got to stop it.
Hold on, though. You made a point, and I just want to add to that. I honestly agree with you. I think the problem is I would blame this on lazy Christians that don't read, that don't understand, don't know how to apply the scriptures. There's no way you can understand that you're not being a good Samaritan to your brother by allowing him to be his child or allowing his child to be taught something. Because, see, when you look at that, you got to look at the education system and what that means. You're indoctrinating people to a sinful lifestyle, and you condone it as a Christian. I have a problem with that.
Well, you're standing by and letting them step. It's almost like if, you know, if there was a precipice and you saw that they were going to fall and you did nothing to tell them, no warning, and you knew the next step, you know, was you know, going to take them.
I mean,
to
but
their,
you know what?
If
you just take homosexual out of it and just say stealing. Just say, okay, well, I mean, I don't think, you know, if the government says, hey, you can go out and steal from anybody, Christians will take a stronger stance on that than they are murder. They'll take a stand on murder or stealing. Well, depends on abortion. But I'm just saying, they'll take a stance on certain subjects. They had a pastor, a so-called pastor, who called up here last week and actually went in the Bible and tried to prove that abortion was okay.
I heard him.
He's a pastor.
Yeah,
he is a pastor. And,
see,
and
I have an issue with that guy because he kept saying, I'm a pastor. He said, I'm a pastor. Like, we're supposed to cower in fear because he's a pastor. My thing is, you're a pastor. That means you're a servant. You're a minister to us. That don't mean we're supposed to be scared of you or hold you in some regard because, I can, you know what I'm saying? Pastors is synonymous with elders and overseer. If you look at the office of that in the scripture, it means you are a sifter of people that come in, and when they came into the service, you were one of the ones that sifted what people said and made sure it was sound biblically.
Right.
So, I mean, not biblically, but whatever they used at the time in the early church. These pastors nowadays, man, I mean, these guys, I mean,
well,
I know pastors that down here that got 2,000 members that don't even believe in the Bible, don't even believe
you
in the real word of God, but he preaches.
Rick Warren, who has a big church out in California, I think it's California.
Yes.
My cousin told me that he was just on the Sean Hannity show. Now, Sean Hannity seems to be on target with a lot of issues, but he's not aware, or he wouldn't have had Rick Warren on his show, because Rick Warren is one of the ones that was advocating for this Chrislam, which was a merging of Christianity,
absolutely.
Christianity and Islam, saying that we can all you know, put aside our differences and come to, you know, a peaceful acceptance that, you know, that Christ was a special man. Well, as a Christian, we can't just, you know, negate him to the level of a special man. He's our Savior.
I think you can come to an agreement. Look, I can agree. I went down there to see Alex. We got along fine. Alex doesn't believe in what I... There are certain things that we both want out of our society, though. And most people, most Christians, most Muslims have certain precepts and things that they want us all in our society to have. And when you go and poll most Christians, they'll say that most. But what's happening is pop culture is really kind of changing a lot of that. And they know what they're doing. Pop culture, they know what they're doing. They know in the back of their minds, they'll sit and tell you, we're going to get your kids. We're going to win in the end because we're winning the hearts and minds of the kids.
Well,
okay. People, I'm going to say this. I got a special caller calling in that's waiting in queue, and I want to get her in before we get to the top of the hour. So just hold on line. I'm going to bring in Prophetess Pam Vanette, who has been to Africa quite a few times, and has a pulse about some things that are going on over there on the continent, and see what she has to say about the passing of Nelson Mandela. Prophetess Pam, are you there?
Good morning, or good afternoon, your time. I'm on Central Time. Good afternoon. I've been enjoying listening to what the gentleman and the lady were talking about in accordance with the word, and, you know,
sure.
Agree with you all wholeheartedly, 100% with everything. And I just wanted to comment that one of the chief reasons why we're having so much of a problem in reference to the body of Christ is the fact that you have so many Christian leaders who are living immorally. If you can know that, you know, the times are really different, the times have changed by the fact that when we were being raised up, even as children, that if any of you are close to my age, if you're above 40, and I won't tell you how much above 40 I am, but if you're above 40 years of age, you can remember a season when it was considered taboo to sleep with somebody outside of wedlock. It was considered taboo to be pregnant out of wedlock, et cetera, et cetera. Now these things have become widely accepted because you have Hollywood and you have magazines, newspapers, et cetera, et cetera. All of these things have made inroads in the church because of finances. When pastors cannot receive proper funding for their efforts, they tend to compromise more and allow the people to do whatever they want to do. Furthermore, a lot of people call themselves to the pastor, then they don't receive a clear call from God to any form of ministry because there are many ministries, not just the pastor. And when they don't, the convicting element of the Holy Spirit isn't with them because they don't know him as a leader. So if you don't know Christ inside in a really tremendous manner, then it's easy for you to fall off the apple cart and live a sinful life. So if I'm involved in homosexuality, how can I tell you that you can't be gay and live an openly gay lifestyle? Then you have people like Bishop Carlton Pearson who fueled the fire, who no longer believe the way that he started out, and he's a close personal friend of mine to this hour. But we don't agree doctrinally at all, not even a little bit, and we agree to disagree on this, and I'm going to disagree to the grave. The Bible makes some things perfectly clear, but when you have shows like Preachers of L.A., Pastors' Wives, all of these things, Preachers' Kids, whatever these programs are, that absolutely destroy the fabric of the Christian existence and also speak ill of the Word of God, try to make it of no effect in a situation, then you have a hotbed set up for there to be lack of conviction in the body of Christ amongst its leaders. So if its leaders aren't doing what is right, you certainly aren't going to get the people that are following these leaders to do what is right because there's no convicting element and there's no personal standard that's set up. But I'm here to tell you some good news. Despite the fact that Rick Warren is as involved as he is and that abhorrent philosophical belief system, despite the fact that Preachers of L.A. is on the air on Oxygen Network and on, I think, USA Network, it rebroadcast during the week. And despite the fact that there are millions of viewers viewing all of this, God is still God. He's still supreme. He's still capable. He still has people just like the two of you. And we're millions and millions strong who believe that there is a holy standard to follow him. And so the best thing you can do is to continue to feel the way you do, but stand up for something, do something about it. When we're inactive, these kinds of things take over. But when we're actively involved, we loan our voices to it, then they can't take a prey, they can't take a spoil, they can't take over. So I encourage you, gentlemen, and I encourage you, women of God, to continue to be the way that you are. Continue to take a standard. Don't take low. Don't compromise. Stand for something. And then we'll see these systems and these situations change. The kingdoms of our world is become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever. Not just a day, forever and ever. God is never going to abdicate his throne. So we can know by that there are more for us than against us. And as long as we stand against things that are happening as trends in government, trends in media, et cetera, we will prevail. The end of the book says we do. So we're in a good season to be able to do that. And if I sound like a preacher, it's because I am. God bless you both. Now, Jeff, I don't know how much time we have before you have to take a break. Do you need to go to break, or are we okay with time?
We have 3 minutes till break, sis. And if you want to, if you want to either call back in. Or catch me right on the other side of two because we can work this out. Because I want you to speak to some things in Africa because I understand that we have a mutual person we know that just came back from Africa.
The Duke just came back.
And I understood that they were saying, where does Prophet is bomb? Where does Prophet is bomb? Palm.
Yeah, they said they were doing that.
She is such a blessing. Would you please see if she can stay? Because I'd like to tune out and put on the radio and listen to her more fully because I feel she does have words of blessing for us.
Hey, I ain't the boss of her. I can't think.
I will certainly stay. Through the break, and we can continue the dialogue.
You have uplifted me. God bless you.
Well, that's what I used to tell her when we were little.
Wonderful.
Well, one of the things I liked that she was saying was that, you know, the world, she said, made a point about these leaders. And the world, although they don't know the Bible, they know basics about right and wrong. And they know, like, okay, Dietrich Haddon, you shouldn't be shacking up with your premarital wife and then talking about it's unbiblical.
Because they'll
quickly, you hypocrite. That's the first thing they want to say to Christians. So I have a problem with that, and I have a problem with a lot of Christians that don't stand up politically, because I don't see how you can separate. You live the way Christ should infiltrate every area of your life. If you can justify biblically, I respect you. But if you want to just, you know, like the guy did some gymnastics the other day to try to justify abortion, then, you know, I mean, I have a problem with that. If you just say, hey, I can't vote because this, and you, I understand, but every point is because you don't want to sin against your conscience. But a lot of these people are just, well, that's separate from this. That's the problem. It's like we want to separate the two.
We should never be content to say, this is wrong for me, but what you decide for yourself is a matter of your own conscience. Because
hold on a second. May I speak to that?
Okay, we're on our way out of here. Brown, are you all in there? You behave in that chat room. We'll be right back after the
not
top
in the
of the hour
chat
news.
Room, but put us in the green room.
Listen
so I can
Tracy.
Tell the truth.
Go ahead, Brown.
I hear you.
Oh, no. I'm going to say it on the air. I don't know why. I understand you people have your beliefs and your faith, and it's strong. But there's a term that I live by, and it's called live and let live. And I live my life the way let me say what I'm going to say. I listened to these guys for 20 minutes on the air. I didn't say anything.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right. I live my life the way I live my life, and other people are entitled to live their life the way they live their life. I have no authority, and it's not that I don't have any authority. I'm not going to make myself upset or bothered, and it's hard to do sometimes, even with family members, okay, when you see them going a path that you wouldn't go, that might be destructive and might be wrong, but I genuinely have no control over that. You know what my mother used to tell me when I used to complain about my sister-in-law years ago? I would say, she does this, she does that, she does this. You know what she said? She said, if she does those things, that's his problem but not yours. And it took, like, all that weight off my back. This is not for me to be worried about. Life in itself has its trials and tribulations and its paths and its difficulties that you're going to walk. Why make it more difficult, worried about what other people were doing?
Well, Brown, let me interject something. This is the difference. We're not
Why make it difficult?
I'm trying to answer that. We're not saying that. If America votes to have people go out and steal and murder.
Why make your life more difficult? I've heard you say this. Make your life more difficult? Trying to control or being upset about what other people
control.
Are doing.
See, the word
sail
is control.
Sail your own ship. Sail
I understand.
Your own
Brown,
ship.
You're not listening. You're just making a point, but you're not letting me make
family.
My point, Brown. You made your point. I heard it. You're repeating the same point. I just want to try to answer the question. All I'm saying is, it's not, this is the thing. If you go and read the Old Testament, you go read the Bible from front to back, you'll notice one thing in common with all the people of God. They were met with controversy because they took a stand and they tried to say something was right or wrong, or they tried to do something against the flow of the society. If you look at all the prophets in the Old Testament, they were put to death, the apostles were killed. So walking with Christ sometimes means that. It means that you're going to take a stand that's not popular. I'm just saying for me and what I'm going to do and what people who say they're in my faith are going to do. Now, for you, Brown, if you don't believe in the Bible and you're not a Christian, you can go do what you want. You can go vote. You can go sleep with who you want. You can do what you want to do. I'm not trying to force you to do anything. But when it comes to me walking in that booth and making me doing an election or anything that I can affect, it's going to be based off my faith in God. That's it. That's all we're saying. We're not trying to force you in California. If I come out there, I'm not going to force nobody. These homosexuals want to have a gay pride parade. Do you?
You got gay people in Alabama, too.
You do. Trust me, you do. You got a lot of them, more than you had when I was growing up. It's getting a lot more open out here. You're right. But what I'm saying is I see these people. I know gay people. I'm actually cool with them. I don't have no problem with them. but I disagree with it, and I vote when I can. I vote a certain way,
that's
but I'm not going to try to.
That's their sexual thing. You're not in their bedroom. Who
but,
cares?
Okay, but I'm not doing
bedroom.
Anything to them. I'm not doing anything
Who
to them.
So
I'm just
concerned?
Going when I vote,
Who?
Brown. When I vote, Brown, I'm going to vote against it because I disagree with it. Simple and plain. Just like you disagree
can't
with
vote
Democrats.
Against homosexuality. You can vote against gay
How
marriage.
How can you tell
baby?
Me what I can vote against, Brown? Because now you're trying to tell me
there's nothing
you can
to vote against,
Brown. But you're Brown. Hold up. We're going to calm down. This is the thing.
Wait a minute. I agree.
I disagree with. I don't think that they should be allowed to teach kids because see, when you talk about marriage, you're talking about something that you're teaching
you're
kids.
You're all over the place.
And
you know you're all over
I'm
the place.
I'm not all over
I'm
the place. I'm saying
general.
That I think
you're
it's
all
wrong
over
to
the place.
Teach kids in school that it's two men is okay. I don't do that. I don't believe in that. I'm sorry. So you can't. Why can't I have my beliefs? You're forcing
Who's
me to accept
you
your beliefs.
We cannot stop people from living their lives, and they will
exactly.
make choices. But they do not need to do this in our face, and they do not need to do this with permission from our government. Our government
God, people are supposed
not
to be free. Why do you guys worry about what
you
other
are free,
people
Brown?
Do?
Brown, you free?
Why
you want to go sleep?
Why do people?
Do
you know when people?
But Brown,
when
you
people,
are free. Why are you getting so upset about
their
it, Brown?
Morality?
Brown,
you are
upset about it because
other
it's
people,
something spiritual.
It's
something.
Thing.
This has nothing to do
you know
with
what?
Spiritual.
You,
this is spiritual, Brian.
You,
you
can
only
get yourself into heaven. You can't
I'm
get
not,
anyone
Brown,
else
I'm
into
not,
heaven.
Brown, look, you, Brown, we have to talk for you to sit and say what I'm doing. You don't, like, you have to really know me. Like, you have to know me real good.
I don't care
that.
What you're doing. That's your life. That's fine.
Okay,
it don't affect me.
Okay, then. So me
no
voting. So I vote. I don't feel that certain way.
Free.
Brown, they are free. What are we doing? You super, you
doing
your, what you do in your bedroom, Brown, is your business. That's what we all say.
Let me tell you what you're doing. What you guys are doing, okay? And you may be coming from a good place. And I don't fault you for any of your beliefs, whether I agree with them or disagree with them, okay? All I'm saying is you don't have control over other people's lives. Let people live. You have
Brown,
no control.
Why have you bought
why,
into the
why
the
Mr. Brown, can I interject this in here? Mr. Brown, Mr. Brown, can I interject this in here? I think
the
difference
ma'am?
Here, yes, okay. I think the difference here is just a matter of belief systems. According to what you believe that we ought to just let people be. Let them live the way they want to. It's their affair because you got convicted, and rightly so, that you were very bothered over the situation with your sister-in-law because she was doing things that apparently were things that you believed that she should not do. You were complaining to your mother. That's one system. That's one situation where you're talking about interpersonal relationships. We believe in God, and we believe in the Bible, and we believe in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ commanded us to take a stand. So when
that
we
is,
take
that
a
is,
stand,
that
it
is that
out
is
of,
such that is such nonsense to what you said right there.
It,
with all due
respect,
that
Brown,
is such
Brown,
nonsense.
You ever heard
he
of Jesus Brown?
No, no, no,
Brown,
no,
no,
no.
Let me
Jesus
finish.
Ever
let me finish.
Did not command any
let
of you.
Let me finish because
Jesus,
I want
Jesus Christ.
So you're a theologian now. You studied a Greek and Hebrew.
I want to contend with you.
I made my point real simple. If you guys want
to
be upset about what other people do, when it's none of your business what other people do.
Brown,
we're
going to
be
not,
back
Brown,
on the air
you
in just
guy.
A second.
Prophetess, let me
Jesus
make one
Christ, Jesus Christ walked into every man's world. He was the most confrontational man, but he confronted all those in love. I have no
you're
problem
not Jesus
with what
Christ.
You're saying. I have no problem
ma'am,
with what
ma'am,
you're saying.
Ma'am,
at all.
Ma'am,
okay.
ma'am.
I have no
you
problem
know
with
we're
you
not going to get nowhere
all.
With this. You guys,
Brown,
you
why
guys,
did you do
we're
that?
Not going to get any
Brown,
place because
we just
you
had a
can't.
Guy
guys
want to
be
sodomized, a 12-year-old girl, and he's in jail right now, right?
And that has nothing
everybody,
to do with
hold
me.
On, everybody agrees with that. If that 12-year-old girl consented with it, why do you disagree with that? Because you have morality. You legislate morality
and that's still
just
wrong.
Like everybody else does.
Yeah, that's
insight
that's
on some of the
thing
things that
that's crazy.
May
you
be going on the continent
what
of Africa.
Other people do.
And especially right here in the United States, as she was one of the few people in America that prophesied us getting hit by terrorism in New York and D.C. back in 2001. And, you know, it's something that you have to be able to really tune in to God when you have this gifting. because you can let it, you know, get out of hand if you don't. But the gifting is a gifting that's given by God, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about basic things that are going on that believers and non-believers need to know about. And so hopefully we'll persuade some of those that don't believe to believe. And without further ado, I'll say, Prophetess Pam, how are you? I know they didn't let you say a word in the chat room. I got a report already. But because my man Brown out of L.A. and Alabama, they are slightly opinionated like you and I.
it's quite all right. I was just trying to say to Mr. Brown that I have no problem with the issue of his belief systems. That's not it. But we as Christians You'll be able to, sir. I'm just going to finish a statement. I have no problems with anybody's belief systems or what they believe is what they're permitted to do. That's the good thing about living in a nation that permits you those rights, and it's a good thing about living in a kingdom or living under a God that permits you those rights. But we as Christians, we do espouse the principles of Christ. That's why we're called Christians. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And he gave us other edicts and commands, but there are many commands that God has given us. So if we are very vociferous about what we believe, and if we're very passionate about it, forgive us our passion, because we really do believe, and we want to see all men have the peace that God brings and be able to resolve situations. If I knew that a member of my family was in difficulty or trouble, I would do everything within my power to reach them, even if it meant making them angry. But I probably would not do it in a manner that's going to be abrasive, nasty, rude, evil, or mean, because that is not showing the love of God. But when you do show the love of God, the Spirit of Christ carries you over it, and he makes a difference. So when our voices can't be heard to carry out things, then the Spirit of God is left in a position to do so. I'm going to address the issue of what Jeffrey asked me about, and then, you know, Jeff, I'll let you take it and allow Mr. Brown to voice what he wants to voice or whatever, because he has a right to call in and do what he wants to. And I just say to him, God bless you.
He's a regular. Don't worry about him. He'll be all right.
Okay. In the issue of South Africa, the last time I was there, Jacob Zuma was just elected as president of South Africa. I understand he still is president of South Africa. I could see the immense inroads that the sacrifice of Nelson Mandela, they call him Mandiba, had a profound effect on the nation, and I think on all of the nations of the world, because of the kind of man that he was. Many people have put out that he was Muslim. He was not Muslim. We found that out quickly. When you go into the continent of Africa, particularly around his homeland, we were in his cities. We visited Soweto. We were in, we saw where the capital was. I've been in the Capitol building and everything else. I've been in that nation at least four times. I've been in the South Africa area. So when you go in, you feel the spirit of what he represented in there. Was he a perfect man? Who is one? I mean, Jesus said, why call me good? There is none good but the Father. So anything that's walking upright in flesh, of course, has its measure of error and makes its mistakes. But there is a controversy that still is in the nation about how he dealt with the squatters, et cetera, et cetera. And there were a lot of people that were in disagreement with him that did not like him. But overall, the sentimentality of the entire nation was they adored this man, and not just South Africa, all up through the continent of Africa, all through Europe, all through Asia, every place in all of the continents that I've been on and all of the places that I've had the privilege to travel, this man was very much loved. Now, you can't garner that kind of love without there being the Spirit of Christ. If you ever had the privilege of meeting him, he radiated. He was such an awesome figure, a tremendous figure. I cannot tell you how he lived as far as his Christianity or anything like that. I can only give you quotes that he had, things that he did, the forgiveness that he issued, the friends that he made. He made alliances and friendships with his worst enemies and persecutors. I don't think you can possibly do it without the Spirit of Christ. And so he has left a profound effect on our nation and on many nations of the world, fueled, in effect, our civil rights movement in many, many ways, because he took the persecution for over 20 years and sat in a jail. And if you ever had the privilege of going to South Africa, looking in that prison where he stayed, you wonder, how did he survive it for 20 years?
Right.
And so he was a powerful, powerful voice to nations. I think that it's also really interesting that within the same 7 days, Paul Crouch, who is a giant in Christian television, who has stations all over the world. He has a station in Sisai, which is right out there in close to South Africa. Okay, so you have all of these things. You have all of these things happening in a time frame. I'm maintaining to you that those who are still alive, who are in rulership or leadership positions that are in their 80s, they're fading very quickly. The regime changed several years ago, but God is getting ready to do something so tremendous in his kingdom. Now is the time for people to begin to look into kingdom, K-I-N-G-D-O-M. You can no longer look at church the way we've looked at church in times past. You can
That's
no
right.
longer look at things the way you looked at them. This is another generation. That's why the trends have changed and why people are so accepting of sin, because the whole thing is in the process of changing. Some of the younger leaders are going to be pulled out of their position of authority because they won't walk upright according to the principles of Christ. There is very little that anybody can tell me about blaspheming Christ, blaspheming, you know, the Lord God Jehovah, or blaspheming the Holy Spirit, because I'm totally tied into them. I'm 100% sold out. I see the world in an entirely different way. The shifts and changes that we're seeing now, I prophesied them. Something like 18 years ago, I was in a conference here in Tulsa, the Azusa Conference. I started to feel Matt Crouch, who I'd never met a day in my life, never laid eyes on him, never met him, not, except for TV. And at that time, he wasn't featured on the air much at all. You hardly ever saw Matt Crouch on the air.
Hold on 1 second. Hold on. Matt Crouch was the founder of a network called TBN. We have a lot of secular people here, which was called the Trinity Broadcast Network. And he brought set up a system. Paul and Jan Crouch, of people across the nation, across the world, excuse me, and set up a huge network of TV stations around the world. And he just passed away recently. Go ahead, sis. So keep that in mind, that everybody's not going to. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeffrey. I was just getting ready to explain who Matt Crouch was by telling about the meeting with Matt Crouch, and then who his father really was, because it's significant to what is going on in our nation today and in our world today, believe it or not. But in that situation, I had never met him a day in my life. I kept on feeling that God wanted me to speak to Matt Crouch. And so I called out his name and said I was feeling him. He was in a camera trailer right outside of the Mabee Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He was on the camera crew because TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, which is the largest Christian network in the world, had sent cameras to the Azusa. I had no idea that they were doing the filming. And so I spoke something over his life that has now come to pass. I said to him, I said, right now, your brother is in a position where it looks like he's going to inherit the network when your father passes away. But I said, God is getting ready to turn some things around, and you're going to get the network. Well, right now, that thing has happened, but with a lot of controversy in between there, all of which I was privy to know from that time forward. I'm saying all of that to say, when God begins to move by his Spirit, Change comes. We might be terribly unfamiliar to us. They might be things that we're not ready for, we're not looking for, we don't like the changes. But he always identifies how he's going to move through his prophets. I'm not going to
say
anybody knows what that means.
Alabama, let her finish.
That's not me.
It wasn't me either, but she's been on a 5-minute roll.
Exactly.
I'm
sorry. I disagree with what she's saying. She's basically
okay. Don't worry about it, Stanley. Hold on, Stanley. She is my guest, and she's going to finish. Then we'll let everybody kick in. So right now, I'm going to mute you all's mics, and so that you can get it together, and we'll just hold on for a minute and let her finish what she's saying. Go ahead, sis. Oh, sorry about that. I muted your mic too, sorry.
Except he first revealed it unto his servants, the prophets.
The prophets.
Okay, just like Jeffrey announced, years ago I saw 9/11 as 9/11. Years ago I saw so many things. I saw Barack Obama as president. I saw many things. This is like in 2005 and 2006. And so these things were released prophetically. He still has prophets in the land today. Doesn't make any difference, how many people don't think that there are. If you can't judge it by the fact that the Bible says that they exist, that they hear, that they rule, that they still have a hotline to the Father, but any believer can also have a hotline to the Father where you can hear things from him by the Holy Spirit. I am not speaking to people who are secularly based when I say those things. I'm speaking to people who are filled with the Spirit of God, who are born again, who have an understanding that what I'm saying is true. But I will never, ever, ever in this life depend my position for who I am. The words that I've been able to speak for God, not my words, for him, justify me and speak for me in advance. Okay, so these things are happening because God's hand is all in it for a fact. He's in it in a powerful measure and in a powerful way. While we are taking our time to argue points of doctrine and to take slight of interest and to be offended or upset over anybody's words, there are millions of people that are not finding him as personal Lord and Savior. My declaration that I received at my salvation was to go into every man's world and preach the gospel. That I would do until I draw my last breath. And so when I come on the line, it is strictly from a Christian perspective, but I understand a lot of what is going on in secular realms because I live in the D.C. Baltimore area, and I'm privy to be in on, all kinds of meetings or be close to people that are right up close, seated almost at the right hand of the top of the nation and everything else. So I have a lot of things that are given to me by people that confirm everything that God is saying. I'm saying to you, if you're a member of the body of Christ today, if you are washed in the blood of Jesus, changes have come to the church. These two deaths are monumental to the kingdom of God. And God right now is speaking that he is proliferating and he's advancing his kingdom. The kingdom of God now dwells amongst men. And every single one of us who calls himself a Christian is saying you're little Christ. That's what Christian means, little Christ, little anointed ones. And he said to go out and represent him to the nations. That is what kingdom is about. Church is a part of the kingdom. Church is not the kingdom. It's a part of the kingdom. It's the gathering place of believers inside of the kingdom. It should be the place where we can hear from the prophets, the apostles, the pastors, the evangelists, and the teachers to show us how to walk out our Christian walk and to show us how things are supposed to be run and done. But make no mistake about it, God is not apologizing for anything that he's doing, and his hand is all in it. And these are the most exciting times in the world for Christians across the board, worldwide. He is moving powerfully by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he's moving through every man, every woman who will heed the call, who will listen to this. These are turbulent times. We are about to see another shakeup and another upheaval come to our government. Before this year is even out, it's going to start. When we come into the new year 2014, we're going to see the throes of this thing. Judgments are going to be rendered, and God is going to move in an incredibly powerful way. When we see these things happening as the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to look up because our redemption is right here at hand. Will he return any minute? No. It is not time. It is not time. But he will return in the time that he returns. It has nothing to do with the edict and the decree that he gave to us. Go into every man's world. Go into every kingdom of man and preach the gospel. Now is the time to stop the compromise. Too much compromise waters down the stance, waters down the word of God. Too much compromise destroys the integrity of Christ and keeps the kingdom from advancing, so that our children's children can have a peaceable existence until he returns to the earth. This isn't the time for the devil to have his big day. He doesn't get a big day. He only gets 5 minutes of fame, and then everything is defeated. But now
that
is the time to put your ear to God and listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to his church, to the nations of the world, because he is going to move in a powerful way. Just as you see these strange weather patterns that I've said were coming. I talked about them for years on end. Now they're here. Just as you see these things happening, the others will happen too. Mark my words, because I don't speak of my own volition. He speaks, and he speaks through many people in this earth.
Now, thank you so much, sis. Are you going to hang on for a minute? Because I know there a few people are champing at the bit. Now, some of you people don't believe in God. You ain't going to understand what she said exactly. But you're going to get the gist of it. Right, because she told you, just watch to see whether these things come to pass or not. Didn't say you had to, I'm agreement. No. We're going to take this one step at a time. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring up Brown. You were first to want to say something, so I'm going to bring you in. And then Stanley, I'll bring you in. Then a local caller, I'll bring you in right after that.
Look, nobody can accurately predict the future. That's one thing I know. Nobody has a crystal ball. I don't believe this woman's a prophet and that she can accurately predict the future. I believe in God. I know God. I don't believe this woman can accurately predict the future. I don't believe anyone can.
Hey, Brown.
This woman. Now, hold on a second. I haven't even spoken for 15 seconds.
You're on every day,
She's a special guest. I listened to her ramble. I listened to her ramble for 12 minutes without taking a breath. And
yep.
For 12 minutes without taking a breath with a lot of rhetoric. This woman made Nelson Mandela a Christian. He wasn't a Christian. He just wasn't.
We didn't say he was.
She sure put him into Christian camp. I listened to her closely.
I said he identified as being a Christian, and I said that what he did it by the power of God. But you have to understand, God moves through people who aren't Christian.
Which you don't understand.
Yeah, she understands everything, and she can predict the future, but I can't understand anything. Yeah, right.
But no, we didn't say that, Brown.
She can predict the future.
You're being belligerent.
She cannot predict the future. I'm not being belligerent. I'm hearing stuff that doesn't jive with me.
Brown, listen, please.
You can't convince me of anything.
Okay, Brown, listen to me. Listen to me for one second.
Just one second. I'm not going to be convinced.
I don't want to convince you.
Preachers are full of it.
No, all preachers are not full of it. Some are.
I agree with you. But you got to tell me 8 out of 10 are, and I don't
well,
believe
maybe so.
Well, maybe
so. This is what I want you
I
to just – I want to say something.
Future.
Okay, you cannot believe it if you want to, but let me put it like this. In my household, I grew up with this woman, And this is my big sister, number one. Not only that, she was the last one of the five of us that got saved or born again. And yet she is the one that has manifested the prophetic more so than the rest of us did. My mother was a prophet. My father was a prophet. My myself, my brother, and several others. And I can tell you, if I open up these phone lines and I start calling people to say, hey, the prophet is paying minister something to you? Yeah. Well, did it come true? Oh, absolutely. Doc, you have no idea. And that's okay, but because we're not going to dwell on that. What we're going to do is we're going to deal with what we're dealing with today. And I'm going to let Stanley.
I have to see it repeatedly to
you,
believe
that's
it.
That's fine. That's fine,
and
Brown.
And I have to see it repeatedly to believe it because you say it and she says it. I don't believe it.
Well, guess what, Brown? You know, we'll leave that. I'll say something a little bit later.
That doesn't mean that she's not a good person and she's not a person of faith.
We understand. We ain't mad at you. We ain't mad at you.
I just don't believe that anybody can accurately predict the future.
Well, you're absolutely wrong.
When someone impresses upon me that they can, I think they're full of hullabullaba. But,
okay. Brown, you got to go. Go ahead, Stanley.
The problem I have with what she said and everything is basically she said that without the power of God or Christ and everything, Nelson Mandela could have done what he does. And I'm sorry to say, no, it's not true. There's many people in this world that have done great things, the same thing as Nelson Mandela. Gandhi did great things, same thing as Nelson Mandela. And he didn't need the power of God. He just needed the power of his belief. He believed
do you
on
know,
that cause.
Yes,
I've read his biography. I've read his book.
Okay.
I'm not the type of person who just didn't take it like it is and everything.
Well, go ahead.
And for her to just say that basically denigrates everything that he says. Like she said it. Oh, he, without God or without Jesus, he would have never been able to do that. I'm sorry to say it, that's not true. That's maybe your belief, and you could keep that belief, but a lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people believe that he was ready to die for his belief. He believed in the liberty. He believed in the liberty of Africa. He believed that apartheid was wrong. He believed that men and white, black and white should be together. That was his belief, and he was ready to die for it. A lot of people are ready to die for what they believe inside. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with this. Some people have a stronger belief in everything. The thing is, just saying that without God, I'm sorry, there's many people in history. We could go, Buddha was a person who had belief and did many things in his country.
The Buddha teaching, the way that he said many things.
Said many things that Jesus said also.
I'm sure he did.
And Gandhi, well, what, you think he needed God to have what he did? He basically liberated India of British occupation with no violence. And you think he believed he needed God for that? No, he didn't. So I agree with the other caller. She's been talking for 15 minutes, and I challenge her. She could call him and talk 10, 12 minutes, but you don't even let us talk to her and ask her a question of saying, you believe that, but do you understand a lot of people don't believe what you're saying?
She's right here.
I'm here. I hear everything that you say. When you put it in terms of what you just did, I agree with it wholeheartedly. Please understand me. I don't contend for the Word of God. I'm dealing from this premise and this premise alone. The Spirit of God is everywhere, and He will use whatever makes itself available. That doesn't mean that I'm saying that they're Christian and that their belief systems and everything else is acting out as Christ. I'm saying that whatever good comes out, it's because God is good and He is real and He is in all things. It is difficult for somebody to believe if you have the attitude that you have to be a Christian to be able to do certain things.
But that's not what I'm saying.
So what you're saying is true, but what you're saying is not what I'm saying at all.
But, ma'am, there has been many people who said that they believe in God and said it in the name of God, and they killed millions of people. Do I have to go to Adolf Hitler?
Wait a minute.
I want to ask you the question. Adolf Hitler was a person who was a Christian, and even the church said
it. Yes, he was.
Stanley,
now you're – no, I'm not going to let you get away with that.
Yeah.
Adolf Hitler removed – all of the crucifixes from all of the churches and all the crosses from all the churches and replaced them with with pictures of himself.
Okay, and what was written on this belt that every Nazi person had on his belt, since you know it more than me? What was written on the belt of every Nazi when it happened? In God, what was written in God something? What was written on the belt? What was written? Because you want to say the truth, let's
Stanley,
go with the truth. What was written?
Stanley, he was nowhere near a Christian.
Stanley.
Can we finish?
Okay.
Can we talk?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Let me answer this real quick. The deal is that that he was not a Christian.
Why was he not a Christian? He used Christianity to get his way. There's a difference. Not everyone who calls themselves a Christian is a Christian.
Exactly. But I'm sorry, you can't have it both ways. You make it sound like if every No, you can't.
Stanley.
You can't have it both ways.
Stanley.
You can't.
Yes,
you
can.
Who are you to
If I say I'm a Christian and I don't walk in a Christian walk, then I'm deceiving myself.
And other people would tell you that they did walk. And other people would tell you that during their belief. Now you're saying that, but during their belief, they believe they were walking under the Christian walk. A lot of people did. A lot of people. Go ahead.
Yeah, you got to hear this because there's always going to be somebody that says there's something that they're not. We had the Crusades. We had the Crusades, and people think that those were Christians in the Crusades.
They were not Christian.
Stanley,
you're saying Crusade was not Christian. Wow.
No.
Stanley, there have been many people throughout history. Stanley, there have been many people throughout history that have used Christendom.
This is incredible from Christian. So this is incredible from Christian. This is why I cannot understand your you are so blind of saying this guy is not Christian. Who are you to judge that this guy is not Christian because he doesn't do it the same way you do?
Family.
Wow.
Hold on. I'm gonna let Prophetess Pam answer you on why we can say who is a Christian and who ain't. Because you know what? The Bible is very clear on it. He that has
the same
not
Bible,
the spirit.
Listen.
He that has not the Spirit of Christ is not of his. Okay, so anybody that murders Jews or anybody else or any other group of people are not Christians. I don't care how much they say they are or whether they put something on. They're not. That's not what you do. You don't murder innocent people. And that's not what God wants.
Are you talking about the same Bible that says slavery is okay? Are we talking about that same Bible?
Yes, you are. Because
God of War.
Stanley, I'm not going to contend with you here. I'm not going to continue with you here because biblical slavery has nothing to do with the slavery.
Here we go with
another
excuse. Biblical slavery has nothing to do.
Do you see the? I have to shut him off. Okay, Stanley.
Wow.
You have to listen. Biblical slavery had nothing to do with the slavery here in the United States. That was not biblical slavery. Sorry to tell you, but it wasn't. And that's the bottom line, is that is not the same slavery. We're not doing that today. That's not what we're doing is arguing every little picky point you can come up with. But people sold themselves into slavery in the Old Testament. And that, if they owed a debt, sometimes they went in to work it off. They weren't put in chains and shackles. They had their own houses to live in, and they had all types of other benefits that they got from them. And at the end of their time of paying off their debt, if they paid off their debt or ended their servitude, they went on about their way because they worked themselves out from under whatever they went into slavery for. You have to understand that.
Yes.
It was a very humane.
Slavery wasn't defined the same way then as it was in, during the time that blacks were taken in the United States. It was an entirely different system. It was a system of servitude. You literally worked off your debt. That's all that it was. But they translated it out in King James times as slavery, when it wasn't slavery as we would know it at all. So it's not the same thing at all.
Yeah, it was basically an employment contract.
Yes, that's
pretty
what it
much
was.
And a debt payoff payoff. And you also had days that the Bible set to free the slaves called Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't go and take part of something, okay, and do whatever. Wait a minute, Diva, you're on. I don't know why you hit your number one so you get in there right. Yeah, local caller, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy listening. The only thing I have to say is that I really don't – I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I'm saved. But I just don't feel that that there are prophets that can predict the future either, because if they were, then the people at 9/11 would be saved, or they would at least warn them, and somebody would have called in and said, I had this dream yesterday, and I want to – get to somebody. I haven't seen one prediction that has saved a life, and that.
Oh.
Wow.
If there's edification, that's edification. If you're doing something with it that's actually helping somebody before the situation arises, rather than is this going to come to pass that you will die, or is it this is going to happen to you? Tell them something that they can do to prevent it. Then that's when people will believe. If you can really predict something, you will save lives. You won't say, I saw this coming. I knew this was going to happen. No. I mean, God said you can tongues speak so it's the edification of everybody, not just so that you're speaking to hear yourself speak.
God. Stop. You got to stop. You got to stop there. I'm sorry, sis.
Something. People can be
It's okay. Let her talk.
Fix it. And there's false prophets in the land. I'm sorry to say there are.
Yes, there are.
There are. Yes, there are. I would be the first one to agree with you.
Humble. Jesus was humble. He didn't go around proclaiming himself to the point of exhaustion and talking a long time. He just said what he had to say in a few words. You get it or you don't get it. He's not debating the point with you too much. It's just let the facts speak for themselves, So.
You want to hear an answer?
Is this going to be long-winded? No.
Prophetess, go ahead.
Oh, wow. First and foremost, I love you, and I have no problem with anything that you've said. I have no problem with anything that anybody has said. You're entitled to your belief systems and everything else. But I've ministered the word of the Lord to thousands of people, individuals. I have many, many lives. So you have to take into consideration, this isn't the word of me. This is either he said it or he didn't. I've been able to speak to people and tell them there were illnesses in their bodies, what they needed to do. I've been able to speak to people, don't go over here or else it could end your life. It's been many, many instances just like that. But in order to be able to hear that, you have to be in circles where that is free to go. Because there's so much stir that's on the phone this time, this is the first time I've ever been a guest on the program and had this kind of stir of controversy. I'm not affronted by it. It doesn't hurt me. It doesn't harm me at all because I know the validity of it. But there are prophets all around you. You just might not know it. And there are people that are constantly saving lives, speaking into people's lives, and helping them to have a better life. Most of us are preachers, And we preach the unmitigated gospel of Jesus Christ. We just believe in the flow of spiritual gifts, and we believe that these mandates are still in the land. So I'm so sorry that this is offensive to you, but the only defense that I can give you is to go to God. If you go to him and ask him to show you truth and then leave it open for him to show it to you, I guarantee you he'll do it. And I don't want him to defend me because he needs no defense, and I don't need to be defended. I'm humbled by the fact that I would be attacked. I don't care about that. But I do care about you and your mortal soul, and I care about the things that happen to you in your life. And I care that God speaks to you and helps you in your life. That's where my concern is.
Hold on, sis.
Questions of things happen to me that I could understand, and, you know, I feel like I have a gift in God myself. But discernment also lets us question things, and, you know, you don't just...
Yes,
I mean,
does.
I don't question God because God is God no matter who believes in him. He doesn't need to say he's God, you know.
Well, that's not necessarily the so, but because he wants us to defend the kingdom. And it says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence taken by force. So you're in a war, and when you're in a war, you have a whole lot of things going on that don't necessarily readily open themselves up to you. In other words, there's a ton of prophets in Youngstown, okay? A ton. Okay, we grew up in our Christianity from 1977 on in the prophetic because that's when we got saved. That's what we were around, and that's what we were called to, and that's the giftings that we have. And I can tell you quite a few people that just me, okay, one or two things. But I want to give you a slight thing, and then Diva, you come in, and then Alex, you'll be next after that.
Okay, well, I just wanted to go around telling about your gifts. Like, it's like Kanye West when he said, I'm a genius.
Well, okay. No, that's not what she said it in, nor the spirit in which she said it in either. She's trying to tell people what's getting ready to happen and why it's getting ready to happen.
And she didn't save nobody in 9/11, and she said she knew about it.
Yes, she did, and she did tell people about it. It was in the Tulsa World newspaper. She was interviewed, was it a month before, Pamela?
Was interviewed, like, literally days before. At a conference before about 1,000 people that heard that prank.
You're breaking up a little bit, sis. Got to get back in.
Let me just say this quickly, and then I'm going to let it all alone because I won't defend myself because it's not necessary, and God knows. But when I speak on the air like this, I usually encompass those things which manifest to all people or to nations or something like that. I'm not addressing it to individuals on the air. But there have been times on this program.
Sis, you're breaking up in that spot in the house. You got to go back where you were.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, I feel you fine now.
Okay. Usually when I'm on the program, I address what touches all people, not just an individual. So you wouldn't hear so much me saying something to an individual on the line when I'm on the radio program. But if you came to a service where I was ministering, that's another thing. I minister to many, many individuals. And so because it's God's kindness and his love that reaches out and touches people through people, that's how this is done. And so that's all I'll say on the matter. You can believe or not believe. It doesn't make a difference. But if you seek his face and if you desire to hear from him, he will speak to you, and he'll speak to you through people, but he'll speak to your spirit internally.
Diva?
Oh, I just wanted to say, Prophetess Pam, God bless you, woman of God.
Bless you,
always sweetheart. The prophetic is a heavy, heavy mantle. There's always going to be a point where people are going to try to stick daggers, and I think this is one of those points. Whatever God is doing in this situation, I don't know, but I know that he is in it. And it's just to strengthen you. I also want to say most people feel that the prophetic is about prediction. This is not sorcery. This is not witchcraft. This is not psychic. So if you watch mediums and Long Island medium and all that,
you're not going to see that operating in a prophet or a prophetess. This is about the word of God being spoken through people and bringing it into the earth about what God is doing. So at one, he may have a word for you, he may not. Whether you believe it or not, that's up to you. And you have to have the faith to see that word through. And I also want to say, this is what irritates me about my leftist comrades, is that we are supposed to be the party of great tolerance. But I see no tolerance when it comes to Christianity. I see a lot of tolerance when it comes to anything and everything other than Christianity. Yes, you have some so-called Christians who have used the word of God to gain a purpose or to push their agenda. But if you actually take time to read the word of God, you know that just because they say, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean they actually know him or they're doing work right in his name. They're doing it for man. They're doing it for themselves. And that's where you have to, that's where to get the discernment comes through. Is this person doing it through the, for themselves, or are they doing it for God? And if you don't read the word, then you'll never get it and you never understand it. And there's no point in attacking someone so vehemently because of their own beliefs, and they're telling you and giving you a perspective from their beliefs.
David,
well said. Well said.
I fell out my chair just now. Wait a minute. Oh, man, I can't believe this. The world is coming. No, Pam, you were wrong. You were wrong that Jesus ain't coming back. He's got to be coming back because
yeah.
I had to give a deep.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, this is a miracle day.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Rick put something on Jackie's Facebook page that I agreed with, and I just agreed with Diva. I mean, the world's coming to an end.
Jackie Indy, oh, my God. What is going on here?
The world's coming to an end, brother.
Hey, Alex,
let me say before you introduce your other person. You know, I realized I wasn't going to interrupt, but I did. Thank you, Jeff, for being this bold and for giving me this time. You know, I don't know how your show operates on a regular basis because I always come on as a special guest. To
right.
those who were offended by the fact that I took more time, please forgive me. It wasn't my intention to offend you. For those who were offended by my beliefs, I make no apologies for what I believe because I know them to be the truth. And a person with an experience is never at the mercy of one with an argument against it. But I want all of you to know I love you. I believe in you. I trust that God loves you also far more than I do, and that's the point of it all. You can speak ill of me or anything. I'm used to it. I've been doing this for 35 years, so it doesn't bother me in that sense. But I am concerned about you, your relationship with Christ, and that you feel the fullness of his love. And that's what I came to say on this radio. And anything that I predict, you can look at my track record because we have tapes, I have news articles, I have all kinds of things where I'm predicting it absolutely come to pass. But I have thousands of people worldwide who would testify that God still speaks through prophets. I'm nobody to this. Please understand me. He is everything. And that's the attention that I'm trying to point. And if you don't get him, then everything else fails. I want you to see Christ. That's the one that I serve. That's the one that I'm spokesman for. And so God bless all of you and those of you who believe in Christ. Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you.
Merry Christmas,
Alex.
And God bless you.
Alex, you're in here.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
And Styx, how you doing, Styx, man?
I'm doing well, Alex.
Good, good. You know, I just want to be brief. I'm enjoying the conversation and your guests, definitely. But I have to take issue with a couple things, two things, just real quick. A comment was made that, you know, biblical slavery was different and all this stuff. But
right.
what you guys have to realize is that a lot of the ideas of chattel slavery came out of the Bible. And particularly about black people, if you turn to, you may have your Bible in front of you, but particularly if you reference Isaiah chapter 45 and the 14th verse, it talks about there's a prophecy of enslaving pretty much all the world-renowned black nations at the time, Egypt, Cush and Sheba, or what they call the Sabians or whatever. And so, and it specifically says that they will, you know, trudge behind you in chains and all this stuff. So, I just think that deduction of whoever made that statement is just patently false. The other thing I want to say is that when Christians talk about that, I don't necessarily hold, you know, the arguments that were made against Christianity, whatever, but what Stanley was talking about, the bad things that happened in the name of Christianity, like, you know,
right,
like Nazi Germany and all that. What I think Christians have to understand, what you have to own up to, is this. The only reason why you have the influence that you have in the world today is through, was trailblazed by those, what you may call unchristian acts, but it was trailblazed by those. When people bring up, well, look at all the atrocities by Christians committed against the Native Americans, and I know you'll say, well, they weren't Christians. Okay.
No, Christians didn't do that.
I get that. I completely get that. And when we could go all around the world, like Cecil Rhodes, what he did in South Africa and Southern Africa in general, and what Nazi Germany did, and all this stuff. We can name all this stuff that was done in Jesus' name. I mean, even the first slave ship that came to America, it was called the SS Jesus Christ. So, and I'm not making that up. So, but all these things done in Jesus' name, you know. What you have to own up to is that you wouldn't have the influence that you have today if it wasn't for those vestiges of, you know, the uncomfortable periods of Christian history. You see, now,
can I please say something here?
All I'm saying is that you need to, you have to address it somehow. You can't just explain it away and say, well, they weren't Christians, because today, in today's age, you are benefiting from what they did. You are able your message is allowed to reach as many people as it is because of what they did. And your
Once
prominence
again,
and preeminence over people is because of what they did. So I just don't think that when you try to explain it away as they weren't Christians.
Well, first, because you're incorrect here, Alex, and this is what I was trying to say in the first place. Trying to be nice about it, I have to say something. The Christian church was co-opted by a pagan group of people that called themselves Catholics. Okay, they paraded as Christians in the beginning because they couldn't kill off the Christians. They didn't understand why these people believed in this Jesus, and they would not bow down and worship the leader of Rome and worship this leader, that leader, blah, blah, blah. So they made this thing up where they co-opted the religion and made it a state religion. I'm a Christian too, Constantine said, but they had been doing it before, and they took all the church relics, they took all of the original church things, and they dispersed the Christians, which God wanted, all the way throughout the world. The real Christians, the underground church, the ones that will pray and take and go to their death as a cause, and they created a political military system called Catholicism. The bishops had armies. The bishop had all these things. And not only that, they were forcing people to co-opt just like the Muslims are now. The Spirit of Christ ain't going to force nobody to believe in him. He says, go into the highways and byways and adjure them to come. He said, tell them to come. Don't make them, because they're not real if they don't believe. They're not in it if they don't really know him. That's the only thing. Christianity is the only religion that is based up on a relationship with God, not a forced obedience to God, because he don't want to force you to do nothing. He wants you to choose. He said, I put before you this day death and life. Choose life that you may live and it be well with thee. Understand that is the crux of Christianity. I can't force you and don't want to force you to do nothing. And that's not what God did. So anybody that act contrary, the Bible clearly says, contrary to the Spirit and the Word of Christ, is none of his. Yes, if you are the one parading out here for abortion, you better check yourself, maybe. I ain't saying you ain't. I'm not saying you are not, but I'm telling you, you need to check yourself. Because if you are not of the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of life and liberty. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, is the kingdom of God. Not an army forcing you to bow your knee and say, Jesus is Lord, with an ankh, the sign of eternal life, on your shield. And don't give me the, it's a sign of some, I don't know, what they say, with some other kind of cross of one group of Christians at one time or another. That's craziness. It had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. It ain't the reason why I'm powerful. I'm powerful because God did never left or forsake his people, and he stayed with them. You will see, and I make this prediction to you, you will see Rome change some huge stories in the next 5 years about who Jesus is and why he is. And that's my prediction. And I'll let you see that. You will watch this happen. Because when you have a half system where you allow half of Jesus and half of paganism, you have all paganism. You can't mix the seed, as in the Old Testament. You can't mix the garment, as in the Old Testament. It is one way or the other. Yes, sir. Yes, you can.
So you just made a statement that, okay, you're not powerful because of those things that happened.
No.
God. You're saying God just never left the true Christians.
But absolutely.
Okay, that's fine. But wouldn't you have to concede then that God would then have to use the elements that paved the way for its preeminence, even if they
all things work together for the good of them that love Christ, that are the called according to his purpose? He will use any situation to his advantage, whether he allows a vessel to be made of honor or to dishonor, is what the word says. And we got to let this go. I'm sorry, Alex. We'll take this up another time.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to tell you, this is what I love the most, is the word of God. You know, we're not supposed to do Christian radio here, but we have to answer these things when they come up, because this is not Christianity. Those things that happen are not Christianity. God be with you. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. South Africa is preparing a huge soccer stadium outside Johannesburg.